the confession of sin, if you want to turn there in your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 18. And I want to take a moment, a little license today. I don't think it's a major license, but a little bit. And that is, I want to interpret the term enemy differently, or a little more metaphorically for you today, in a way that I think it makes consistent biblical sense. In Psalm 18, we see that David is crying out because he is surrounded by his enemies. And in this sense here, it's talking about the physical, literal enemies of David. This morning, I would like you to consider your sins as your enemies. And that we are surrounded by our enemies. We're surrounded by Satan. We're surrounded by our flesh. We're surrounded by all sorts of enemies of God. But one of the enemies that we most often face, probably more directly as any enemy every day, are our own sins. And I'd like to think of these first three verses upon that idea of our sins surrounding us. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I shall call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. What a joy that he saves us from the enemy of sin, and from the enemies of sin that have attacked us this week. Let's be people who humble ourselves before God today, and in gracious thankfulness, thank him as we confess our sins. Thank him for his forgiveness, because it is that forgiveness that allows us to say with David, I love thee, O Lord, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. I take refuge in thee. Let's pray. Lord, we are a sinful people. We've turned our back upon you this day, this week, throughout our lives, and yet the blood of the cross covers our sins. And as we are reminded this morning of our wickedness, of our sins, of our enemies which surround us on all sides, including the enemies from within, we rejoice. We rejoice in your finished work, your accomplished work, your grace, your love, your kindness extended to us while we were estranged from you. So draw us near today, Lord. Allow our lips to proclaim, I love you, Lord. You are our strength, our rock, our fortress, our deliverer. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that in you we find refuge and grace. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
In our profession of faith, we're moving for the third week now to the shorter catechism of the Westminster Confession. We start out learning that very important truth that our chief end, our main purpose in life, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We learn that the principal authority we have to accomplish that task are the Scriptures, that the Scriptures teach us what we ought to believe about God and what duty God requires of us as men. We learn that God is Spirit, that He is one God, but three persons. And we're going to move on now in questions 7 and 8 to the decrees of God. Let me read the question and then we'll read the answer. What are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are His eternal purpose according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. In modern English, similar, it says, the decrees of God are His eternal plan, based on the purpose of His will, by which for His own glory He has ordained everything that happens. Then how does God execute His decrees? God executes His decrees in the works of creation and providence. Of course, next week we'll take up what those works of creation and providence are. Join us now in ascribing greatness to God.